Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30 plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. It is March the 3rd, and Joe, today is the two-year anniversary of the tornadoes that rolled through here a couple of years ago. And I remember you and I doing the show that morning and waking up and kind of seeing the scope of what the damage was. We knew it was bad overnight, but when the sunlight came, we kind of saw the scope of the damage around here in those areas. Just a horrible storm that moved through, deadly storm that moved through. And I know that I will never forget doing the radio show that morning. That was quite something.
Yeah, it really was. And sort of the just growing list of accounts and all of a sudden videos of damage. And yeah, that was a terrible, terrible storm. Fantastic reaction from Nashville. Part of a bit of a turbulent winter.
Yeah, I would say
in the world.
I would say like in some ways, it's hard to believe that was 2 years ago. And in other ways, it feels like that was 15 years ago. It really does.
Yeah. That's what it feels. It feels longer than 2 years to me for sure.
Yeah. So 2 years ago today, the anniversary of the storms rolling through, coming off of a trip to the NFL Combine yesterday, Joe Rexford back in Nashville with us. We've discussed some of John Robinson's comments on the loss against Cincinnati and his comments on Mike Vrabel or on Ryan Tannehill as well. One of the things that I was interested to see yesterday, Joe, was whether or not Vrabel gave any sort of explanation or further detail on the hiring of Tim Kelly as the senior offensive assistant slash passing game coordinator. And he did. He gave some comments on Tim Kelly yesterday. And I thought some of those comments were interesting. He said multiple times, you know, that he trusts Tim Kelly, that he's not coming in with any sort of agenda like that. They talked about the Jim Schwartz situation. Lots of things that Vrabel talked about yesterday about Tim Kelly. What stood out to you about his response about Tim Kelly? And do you view the Tim Kelly hiring any differently now that you heard Vrabel talk about it yesterday?
Well, I guess. Yeah, I mean, you know, because I just was a little bit uncertain. I mean, look, passing game coordinator. You know, yeah. It's just, I mean, the title is now, again, I was told before any of this happened that essentially, you know, understand that agents get involved in titles. Okay. So, sure. You know, Tim Kelly, it's interesting too. Vrabel said this a couple times with the Tim Kelly thing. He said, not coming in with an agenda. He said that at the podium. He said that with us. Which I guess I take as not coming in trying to unseat Todd Downing.
That's the way I took it.
But it's interesting because Tim Kelly and Jim Schwartz are in very different situations in their careers. Jim Schwartz has been a head coach. He's been a very successful DC. He's older. I mean, he's established. You know, Tim Kelly is still early in his career. Things went sideways in Houston. I mean, really not of his doing at all, but yeah, that's a guy like Jim Schwartz. Like it totally worked out last year. And I know he interviewed for some jobs, so it's not like he's waiting it's not like he's content to just do this forever, but like, you know, it kind of made sense with Tim Kelly. I mean, it's like, you're trying to progress, you know, you're trying to find the next job. Everybody gets fired in this business, or your staff gets fired, things go bad. You got to find the next thing. But to me, Tim Kelly is going to want to be an OC as soon as possible, right? So it's different at different points of their careers for sure. But Glennon asked Vrabel, basically, to translate the question, if you have a passing game coordinator, does that mean you're going to pass more? I mean, that's, you know, yeah. And very, let's see, let me, I typed this out in my story. Let's see. No, 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 no. Rabel's
seven no's
was he had a no, and then he had no, 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 no. He had six like really quick in a row there. But anyway, so but he had some, you know, it does sound a little, again, to me, a little different than Schwartz in terms of how Schwartz has been described, which is maybe a little bit more like a little bit more back end advisor role. Not that he's not involved in like planning and stuff like that, but with Kelly, you know, he's talking about him being a signing, a sounding board, you know, enhance things. The interesting part of the quote I thought here was quote, this isn't, it will be to enhance and help us where we feel we need help, or maybe there's some concepts or decisions we have to make, or how you read something, however you guys read this out, or what are some plays that maybe we don't currently run that we'd want to use. Those are all conversations we've already had and we will have.
Yeah.
End quote. End quote. So, but that's, I mean, again, it's a great thing to me, as long as everybody can work together well. If you have another, you have another cook in the kitchen, but someone who brings maybe some different concepts, different ideas. And if that, if it can work that way, where it's just, he's an advisor for Downing and maybe they enhance the passing aspect of the offense a little bit. Great. You know, this is going to be the same thing as a year ago. It never came to pass because the Titans were almost immediately better on defense. Well, they weren't great at Seattle, that's for sure.
No.
You know, so I guess real early they weren't, but pretty quickly they settled in and improved. But had they not, we talked about it going into last year. It was going to be, when is Schwartz going to be the DC? And that's, that's the potential here on the other side of the ball now.
Well, and to that point, even when things started going well on defense, it wasn't, hey, Shane Bowen's doing a great job. It's how much credit does Jim Schwartz deserve for all this going on? So, like, if the Titans offense comes in next year and Ryan Tannehill's lighting it up, it's gonna be like, oh, that Tim Kelly, he's come in and Tannehill has just totally been transformed back to like Arthur Smith days under Tim Kelly.
That's true. I mean, look, I mean, like, Todd Downing is still the OC, and you got to be happy to be an OC. You got a chance to be an OC for a good team. But from that perspective, from the perspective of, like, if Todd Downing wants to be a head coach, you know, this move, right or wrong, at least publicly, is going to potentially, you know, sap credit from him if things turn around. Now, you can't think about things that way if you're in that job. And, you know, the thing about that is, like, the reality of what everybody did, that, you know, people in the NFL who are making a hire are going to get better information than media have on that stuff, you know? Yeah. So, and, you know, Todd Downing knows that, they all know that, but it's still the public discussion of the team. Yeah. I think they'll, and if they do, and if it's like, you know, Tannehill in particular playing great, oh, how many Tim Kelly questions are there going to be? A whole bunch.
Oh yeah.
Vrabel knows this.
He is well aware. I don't think,
but they got to get better. They got to find, I mean, look, you can't tell me that Arthur Smith's departure was not a big hit to Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, I think
how
it's
much
clear.
Of one, I don't know, but to Tannehill in this offense, it's how much of one, I don't know exactly, but it was significant.
It was clear. I thought, you know, when you started talking about, like, what are some plays that maybe we don't run right now that we could. I will say, when I heard that quote yesterday, the first thing I thought of was like, oh yeah, A.J. Brown, get him the ball any way possible. And then Vrabel was eventually asked about, like, A.J. Brown and Deebo Samuel. I thought his response on that was interesting. He's, you know, he's basically like, you know, Deebo has a unique skill set that, you know, I kind of marvel at too when I watch. I don't know that A.J. Brown is ever going to end up having 100 carries, trying to make him a better receiver. But he did kind of leave the door open of, hey, you know, we like getting AJ the ball, and I'm not saying it's not going to happen. Just, it's a unique skill set with Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, well, and so the question from Ben Arthur was about it was, he asked about Deebo Samuel and Cooper Kupp, which I took as basically getting the ball into the hands of your best player or your best receiver a lot more.
Yeah,
but at first, Vrabel was like, Deebo and, you know, Cooper Kupp are not the same player, but that wasn't the point of the question. The point of the question was just basically like, how do you get the ball in his hands more? And by the way, Vrabel brought up a very important point. He made sure to bring up a Cooper Kupp, incredible blocking receiver.
I just like
to point that out. Yeah, that's right. You heard
John Metchie to the Titans confirmed.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. Yeah, you have to try to read into. And again, I go back to 2 years ago. We've talked about this, but 2 years ago, they were a lot more forceful in we got to have Derrick Henry than they were in we've got to have Ryan Tannehill. Well, they ended up with both of them. I mean, they ended up giving Tannehill a big deal, and obviously they tagged Henry and eventually got that deal done. So I didn't necessarily leave Indy 2 years ago thinking Tannehill's absolutely – I figured he would be. But, there's a little bit of uncertainty. Sure. I've got more uncertainty now about Harold Landry, and we've talked about this. It's kind of been feeling that way, right? But I've definitely got more uncertainty now. Now, granted, this is also it's posturing time and all that stuff as you try to work something out. But I came away from yesterday thinking I think they're at least having their mind that. What's the scenario if he's gone and you just can't pay him when he wants to be paid? And then how do you proceed from there? Like, I don't think it's like Landry or bust right now.
So with that in mind, we'll get into some of that on the other side. When we come back, take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll try to read the tea leaves as to what some comments from Vrabel and Robinson yesterday at the combine may mean for some high-level free agents that the Titans have moving forward, and maybe some cap casualties as well on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Mike Vrabel with Paul Kaharsky yesterday discussing his thoughts on the team as they head into free agency, the draft. Interesting offseason coming up here for the Titans. And I thought yesterday some interesting comments at the combine as well, Joe Rexrode. And we talked about it to end the last break. Harold Landry, obviously, that is a big decision, really the number one decision the Titans have to make here in the next few weeks as to what to do with Harold Landry. The tag window is open. You're trying to work on a long-term deal. And I came away yesterday from John Robinson with some of the comments he made, a little less convinced that he was going to be there. Now, as you said, I think this time of year, it's tough to maybe strike the balance listening to general managers talk of, all right, well, how much is posturing in terms of negotiations and how much is, things that are really going on that he's thinking about of maybe Harold Landry not being here. There were a couple of things that stood out to me. I thought John Robinson made it a point yesterday when he was talking about the pass rush. He talked about Harold Landry and how he's done a great job and gave Harold Landry credit. I think he also made it a point multiple times to say, Danico Autry, Jeffrey Simmons, Bud Dupree, they all really helped Harold Landry. Harold Landry really helped them. And that, kind of working together as a pass rush, it was impressive to watch. Joe, I also found it interesting that as he started talking about the draft and positions of depth, like the first place he went was edge rusher. Like he started talking about edge rusher and how deep the draft was at that position. And look, maybe I'm just reading too much into that, but I thought that was pretty interesting yesterday from J-Rob.
Nope, I thought the same thing. I found that interesting and I agree. It's okay. Let's go to the quote. So on Landry, he definitely made the point that it all went into, quote, I think that all those guys benefited from each other. I thought the rush was coordinated. I thought Danico's presence, Jeffrey's presence helped Harold. So that's right after a question, whatever the question was about Landry, and there were a few in a row about tagging him, signing all that stuff. And he continues with the quote, I thought Harold's presence helped Jeffrey, and that's what you want from them, but it's a balance of trying to keep that thing together, working through Harold's contract, and then being mindful of players we kind of have coming down the pike too. Yeah. Which is interesting. Like, I guess when I think of that, my mind went to Rashad Weaver. I mean, look, if you're a Titans fan, who watched that team finally have this great pass rush last year. I mean, a difference-making pass rush, a dramatic, almost a 180. Really, it was. It was a 180 from the year before.
Yep.
And now you're being told, yeah, the 12 sack guy, who granted, he's not a dominant force on his own, but he's a 12 sack guy, made a lot of plays down the field all the time. Maybe gone, and you know, the hope is that like Rashad Weaver can step into that role. Man, that can't sound great. On the other hand, I do understand. I mean, I understand like the why the cost would be concerning, and you'd have to talk about that a lot internally. Like, this is a lot of money. Is he that guy? Because he's going to get paid like he is one of those, you know, just dominant edge guys that has to be doubled at all times. I don't think that's what he is, but I still think that keeping that four together because they work so well should be the priority.
Well, and I thought, too, he was asked directly if he feels like Harold Landry will be a Titan yesterday, and I just found the quote. It says, quote, "I don't know how I feel. I hope so. He's done a lot of good things for us, but there's a lot of factors that go into that. He has certainly worked hard, and he's been about what we're about, and we're going to do our best to try to keep him there." Like, the end of that, "we're going to do our best to try to keep him there," was interesting to me. I mean, obviously, look, I think they want Harold Landry. I think they like Harold Landry, and they want him to be a member of the Titans moving forward here. But I think it's pretty clear that they also have a number that they really don't want to go over. And I wonder what that number is and whether or not they're going to be able to get a deal done. And, you know, I also wonder, like, if you can't get a long-term deal done, are you interested in tagging Harold Landry? Like, do you want to absorb that type of a cap hit for 1 year? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But if it's as simple as you can't come to a long-term deal, so you've got to franchise tag him and you're absorbing that type of a cap hit, that's a whole lot of a cap hit in Bud Dupree and Harold Landry for this next year.
Well, that's true, but it's also like, that might be a player, you know, that might be a player that you either have or don't have. I mean, I guess in theory it could be a couple players, a little bit lower cost, who you either have or don't have, or it's as you go looking into the tight end market, now it's okay, you got to go, you know, you got to go blue light special rather than, you know, a little bit higher level of, you know, established starting tight end. Or, you know, that's a big deal. Obviously, if you can work out a long-term deal that gives you relief, and Robinson talked about that too, the whole, like, how long do you go kicking the can on things and all that, you know, and he said, it's a tough thing, you know, but it also has to do with where you are. I mean, if you think that you can make a run, which, by the way, I think the outside world probably doesn't look at the Titans anymore like they're one of the favorites. I don't, but I mean, you've built this really good team. You could certainly still make a run. Can you make it work? Is it worth the tag for 1 year? I don't know. I guess I get like what TD was saying before, the risk of tagging, but then not being able to work out that deal. Then you're stuck with that number. Well, unless Jared brought up another possibility, the tag and trade option too. If you can't figure it out, try to trade him and, you know, get a pick. You could do that.
Yeah, you could. Hey. I mean, there's a lot of options here on the table for John Robinson and the Titans. I'm fascinated to see how this plays out with Harold Landry. You know, Ben Jones, I thought, was interesting yesterday too, because he's got obviously an expiring contract. We've talked a lot about Roger Saffold. I kind of got and maybe you disagree with this, I kind of got a vibe yesterday from John Robinson that he would really like to keep the offensive line together if he could. I mean, he talked about continuity. I also, like, I heard Vrabel get up there and start talking about Ben Jones, and he was effusive in his praise for Ben Jones, but he also, like, the way he ended it, he said something like, you know, I'll always be a fan of that, which maybe I'm reading too much into, but like that kind of felt to me like, does he know something about Ben Jones? Because it kind of sounds like maybe Ben Jones won't be back, which I've never really, like, I've always thought Ben Jones is probably going to be back at this point.
Read that one the exact same way too. The quote was, I asked Vrabel about Ben Jones and continuity, and in particular continuity just at that position. One, he starts the quote with, quote, "I think the continuity from year to year, not so much important, but once you get in the rigors of the season, see what you're facing, you know, et cetera, et cetera." So that was interesting that he started with, you know, year to year, not necessarily.
Right.
You know, to him, continuity is just someone having, and then he went into how he was always available. Whatever his level of play, his availability, yeah. So the end of the quote is, quote, "Whatever his level of play is, his availability and durability is something I've respected the most. The husband he is, father he is, teammate he is exceptional. Performance on the field, his availability and durability is something I'll always admire," end quote. And I was like, oh, so goodbye, Ben Jones. But, nah, is that me overreacting? Sure, could be. But you thought the same thing. It definitely sounded – but again, so, okay. So, goodbye, Ben Jones. Well, who are you drafting high? Goodbye, Harold Landry. Oh, you like those edge rushers in the draft. How many picks are we talking about here? Are you going to get a receiver? You know? Are you going to get a tight end? I mean, this is the puzzle that is – it's going to be fascinating to see it be put together. There's going to be something somewhere that looks woefully unaddressed, I'd say.
Well, I think there's no question about it. And look, I honestly, like, I've just kind of written Roger Saffold off at this point. Maybe that's been premature on my part. I mean, you know, I have thought about it from their perspective of, yes, the pass blocking has to get better. And we'll get to some comments that they made on Dylan Radins coming up here in just a few minutes. But, you know, the run blocking part of this is something that you can't just ignore. Like, their run blocking has been so good, and Saffold's been such a big part of that. That's obviously the identity of their team. They want to be able to run the ball. Like, if you're getting rid of Saffold, how much are you going to suffer in the run game? And how much does that factor into their decision? I mean, obviously it's a huge number for Roger Saffold, but are you willing to give that up, and how dominant that left side in particular has been, you know, run blocking and being able to run the football that way? Are you willing to just throw that away if you're the Titans? I don't know. Like, I've written Roger Saffold off, and I'm less sure after yesterday.
Yeah, I'm not. Because I didn't hear anything. I'm not because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up, you know, especially when we're talking about all these things, you know. I suppose if Jones, Landry's gone, there's more flexibility elsewhere, but I still think Saffold would be gone. But yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, Robinson even talking about, he was asked about, you know, the offense. Or actually, I don't remember what he was asked about, but he was asked about running, you know, the pass defense and all that stuff. And he's like, you know, the number one thing D coordinators say every week is, like, you have to stop the run. Like, you know, you have to stop the run or you're toast. Which of course then, you know, I mean, they're certainly going to value running the ball. I mean, look, 22, it's interesting too. I don't think he came up one time yesterday, which is really bizarre, you know, if you think about it.
Yeah.
But 22 is still the center of this whole thing. You know, he's going to, they're going to go, if he's great and he's all the way back, then they got a chance to be really good. And if he's not, then I don't know. But another thing on that, by the way, running backs, I definitely took his curt answer. Now I'm thinking, okay, so maybe Darrington Evans doesn't get another chance.
He may not.
And I'm a little – maybe they think they need to put some money aside on Deontay Foreman. Although Robinson was asked about that, and the answer was just basically he did a great job of taking care – you know, of taking advantage of his opportunity. So it wasn't like – this, we got to sign him. But if Evans is gone, if they want to move on from Evans, I got to think at least Dontrell Hilliard will be back.
You would think so. I mean, I couldn't think that both of them would be gone at that point, because I agree. Like, he was asked about Darrington Evans, and he was basically like, yeah, well, he was hurt all year. He didn't play for us. That was his answer for Darrington Evans, which I was like, all righty. I guess that tells you what they think about Darrington Evans at this time. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And why J-Rob had one comment yesterday on the defensive side of the ball that I found to be very interesting. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The desire to keep that pass rush intact from the way it played last year, but then also knowing you need to do things on the other side of the ball.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was fun to watch last year to see how all that kind of came together. And I think that all of those guys, they benefited from each other. I thought the rush was coordinated. I thought D'Anico's presence along with Jeffrey's presence helped Harold. I thought Harold's presence helped Jeffrey. And that's what you want from that front. But it is a balance, of kind of keep that thing together and working through, Harold's contract and being mindful of players that we have kind of coming down the pike too, that we want to try to keep there as well.
That was Titans GM John Robinson yesterday at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis discussing Harold Landry and the Titans front and the challenge that the Titans now have trying to make all those pieces fit. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. We are live, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a text that says, I just don't understand how the defense does a complete 180 from the last season, and we're seriously considering breaking these guys up. Pay Landry in all capital letters. Pay Landry.
I get the sentiment. I do. I've been banging that drum too. Look, I get the challenge. I understand the man. Do you want to be paying elite pass rusher money to a really good all around player who had 12 sacks, but who maybe isn't that guy? And I understand it. But this is what happens. I mean, when the timing works out for players in this league, it happens all the time. They get paid, market value. And maybe they're not quite that player, but it's just their turn and that's the market. And again, to me, long term, it may be that, yes, it's a ton of investment in two edge guys, but it may be that, Landry is the better one to go with long term, and then you can get out of Dupree before too long. So Now, in the meantime, you got to pay them both. I mean, I get it. That's why if you can get a long term deal done, then you can structure it to be okay, I think, here in the short term. And from Landry's perspective, Landry knows. And his agent knows he can go out there and he can get paid a lot, but does Landry like being here? Does Landry like being in that quartet? And there are benefits to it. I mean, it wasn't just him. Yeah, Jeffrey Simmons is the best player of the bunch.
Yes.
And frankly, I mean, D'Anico Autry was a huge difference maker last year. There's no doubt. I mean, that, those two inside were so disruptive and powerful. And I think that's probably some of the, some of the trepidation, okay, how much did Landry benefit? But again, whoever gets the credit, all of it together is really good.
Yeah.
It's just, I just would not mess with something that's that good.
Well, and if you do, what's the guarantee that a Rashad Weaver, it would be one thing if you had a season's worth of evidence from Rashad Weaver to maybe gauge what he's going to be at this level. But I have no clue what sort of a player Rashad Weaver is going to look like at the NFL level. I mean, I like some of the tools that he has, and he was a good player in college. I have no idea what he's going to look like in the NFL.
Yeah, in the preseason game in Atlanta, he looked like a – I mean, he looked like a game wrecker.
He did.
Preseason game in Atlanta, No, I think Rashad Weaver is going to be good. He is coming off a big injury. But, I think he's going to be good. He's definitely a different kind of player, though, from Landry. A little bit more of a physical guy, bull rush kind of guy. Certainly, he's I like him, but that's just a lot to to put on someone, and then I guess you could draft someone, but that one, and maybe it's just that it just happened to come to Robinson's mind. That's the problem with this stuff is,
yeah,
you know, we go to these things and I don't know, I'm sitting here talking and sometimes just random thoughts roll through my head and who the heck knows what's going to come out of my mouth. So the fact that John Robinson said, you know, defense edge rushers first, who knows? He could have been like looking at edge rushers right before the presser started. But yes, of course I read into that. And you did too. Like, gosh, is he already preparing for life without Landry and to use significant draft capital on that? But then if you do that, I struggle to see how you're giving your offense enough help.
Joe, there was one moment yesterday that made me raise my eyebrows again. And it's not necessarily the most surprising thing because he's already said it once, basically. But to me, like, John Robinson basically doubled down on yesterday that he would really like to have Zach Cunningham back on the football team. I mean, that's what I took away from that. I think the quote was basically, yeah, we'd like to have him back, is what John Robinson said yesterday. Now,
that was my question too. And yes, it was a two second. Yeah, we'd like them back. Thank you. Yeah. Okay.
Like, oh, thank you, John. Appreciate you. But like, are you at this point with how public he's been on that? Are you convinced Zach Cunningham's coming back next year? Because I kind of am.
Yeah, I'm convinced that they want him back. Are they going to pay him? You know, like, that's the thing is, you know, like, what are they going to be able to get something done differently with his deal? I don't know. I don't know. They can cut him and have not 1 cent of dead money, the way things work and the way the rules are. But I don't know. That's a good question. Hey, before we end this segment, I need to rip Jared and Caroline. Can I rip Jared and Caroline?
Please do.
Go for it.
All right. So I feel like I don't think these competitions are fair anymore. I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. No, but I've got a nickname for Jared and Caroline.
Okay.
Because they, you know, I like the – I always get it mixed up. Is it Tannehill Boohoo Crew or Boohoo Tannehill Crew?
It's Boohoo Tannehill Crew.
Okay. I mean, I like that. It's funny. It's good. I saw the other day it was like Jared was like, I'm heartbroken. Derek Mason is part of the Boohoo Tannehill Crew, you know. So Caroline and Jared together, they are the Tannehill Tattletales.
Okay.
They're amazing.
They're the Tannehill Tattletales. Like, everything has to be about Tannehill. So Jared, and I basically have given up, like, that's fine. You know, judge it however you want with the Jared versus Joe. Last week, Jared beat me with a take that included that John Hines would have been on the hot seat.
I know.
And he won. And that told me, like, okay, so this is what happens. And yesterday, Caroline's like, well, you were better at this one and this one. But, and the but is always this. There's always some question in there that the answer has to be, like, Ryan Tannehill should face a firing squad. Like, yes. You know, whatever the question is, like, if your answer is not as – so, like, Jared's thing is, like, basically John Robinson's emotion was just purely like, oh, I signed Tannehill, you know? Like,
I heard this.
Like, everything has to be 100% Tannehill. And, look, I will acknowledge, I'm sure, the Tannehill thoughts and concerns and questions and maybe regrets are a part of all these things. But, no, it was bigger than that. But those two, it has to always come down – to 17. They are the Tannehill Tattletales.
I like
they
it.
Will for henceforth be known as the Tannehill Tattletales.
There could be some t-shirts made out of that one.
Let's do it.
I'm for it. The Tannehill Tattletales. Anytime you can incorporate some alliteration, it's good with me.
Yep. And it kind of feels that way too, right?
It does. Like,
they're always tattling. Oh, you said something good about Tannehill. Tattle. Oh, D-Mace. D-Mace didn't rip Tannehill. Oh, tattle. I'm tattling on you.
Oh, I love it. When we come back, it is time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports for this week. We'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, as you do every week, would you like to kick us off this week with your best and worst things in the world of sports?
Sure. Thanks for asking.
Of course.
So my best, very simple. It's basketball. And I'll give a shout out to Ja Morant for sure. He's been amazing. But mostly it is college basketball. One of my favorite times of the year. We are here. It is tournament time. I'm pumped today for some SEC women's tournament at Bridgestone. Be there all day.
Shout out Shea Ralph.
Shea Ralph and Vanderbilt destroy Texas A&M yesterday to earn a shot at Florida today around 2:30 at Bridgestone. Really, interesting story. They've been under the radar. They got a losing record. But you're talking about first year for a coach who took over, obviously, a program that's been down. And I think there's a lot of encouraging signs with that. That's going to be interesting. Tomorrow, Tennessee gets into it with the late game, and we'll see what they can do as banged up as they are. But you got Belmont. Lipscomb is alive, and it's the Lipscomb men. Belmont men, of course, have a chance. I mean, I think there's still a good chance that Saturday they are playing Murray State with an NCAA bid on the line. And, I don't like their chances, but they got a chance. Both MTSU teams are really good. I mean, the MTSU men have been one of the – probably the biggest surprise around here. And, you come down to Vols in Arkansas, huge game before that tournament gets going next week. It's a beautiful, wonderful time of the year. That's my best.
Nice.
My worst is football.
Okay.
The NFL Combine is so stupid. I hate it so much. I hate it so, so much. And look, again, it's just – it was good to see some old friends this week. Got to meet some coworkers that I only knew from Slack before. Good to get some interviews in. Get to see all the GMs and coaches at the podiums there. So like, it's fine. These interviews, it just continues from here. Like Jared yesterday, as I'm driving home, he's like, "What, you're not you're not staying for the drills?" And I think I said like I'd rather eat my foot. But seriously,
you said your toe.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty gross. So I'm sorry. Although I'm not sorry for those of you who like the sounds of that.
Yeah.
Sean, text line, driven by WilsonGunnerHoney.com. You know who you are. But it's just, if I ever get caught, like in the last, 10 years. So the last thing that I remember, in the last 10 years, I think I can recall one, like DK Metcalf's 40. Okay, that was, I saw it on Twitter. Whoa, okay. Like, if I ever watch any of that stuff, someone needs to smack me in the face. And, hey, all due respect to all of you who do watch. People watch.
Oh, yeah.
It's turned into a show. Congrats to the NFL. They figured out a way to, like, people creating spreadsheets. They can get that watched on television. I don't know how, but they figured out. It is the most overrated, idiotic thing in sports, the NFL Combine.
Oh, I love it. Very well done, Joe Rexroad. Michelle Knezvik, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Okay, so I'm going to start my worst thing in sports.
Okay.
My worst thing in sports is this Saturday is Coach K's last game in Cameron Indoor Arena. And I don't know if you guys have seen this, but the ticket prices for this game, if you go to StubHub, the cheapest ticket is $3,900, and the tickets are averaging at about $5,300. I get it. It's a very historic day and everything like that. But I guess maybe from my perspective is I went to a school where it was so hard to get basketball tickets. Like as a student, those are the – you want a huge student section. That's the spirit, the just love of the game. You want your students there. And I feel like when – like no students are going to be able to go. It's just going to be all people who are rich and who can afford it and alumni and everything. And that just got me.
I don't know. Some of that Duke money floating around, they may be able to get in there.
Yeah, I know. But, like, I don't know. It just made me sad for the students because, I mean, I know there's probably a lottery or something and there's some way that they could get tickets, but it's so hard to get it and get them and it's so frustrating. And, I just saw that and it made me mad for people. Or people who like normally go and they're like, well, I can't afford that. That's like 3 months rent or something. Or in this case, Joe, in Nashville, that's 2 months rent.
Yeah. Joe, you heading up there for the Cameron Indoor Crazies?
Man, it might be a little bit less spittle on you in a game like this. You know, a little bit more of a wine and cheese crowd, huh?
Yeah, right? Exactly. Okay, and my best thing in sports, it was going to be SEC basketball, kind of like Joe touched on. I was just going to say, the men's SEC basketball, it has not been this competitive in so long, which it's just so awesome. Every game, I'm so excited to go down to Tampa next weekend to see the tournament. But my main best in sports, my high school, our high school varsity hockey team, they got number one on SportsCenter's top 10 plays. And I tweeted it out under our game account. But just shout out Shenandoah High School, our Shen hockey team. One of our players, he like gets hit and then he like slides on his butt and then he like scores the goal. Pretty sick. I tweeted it out. But yeah, shout out my high school. Clifton Park, New York.
Actually saw this on the top 10 the other day.
I had no idea it was your high school.
I had no clue it was your high school. Oh, yeah. We saw it.
Like, and I was sitting in here.
Top 10. You were. And I was like, wow, what a goal there. Who's that? I don't know who that is.
I thought it was a college. That's why I was like, who is it? What is it? Yeah, I thought it was a college game. So
yeah,
I didn't even know that. Well, shout out my high school.
That's pretty sweet. It's good stuff. All right. My best thing in sports. I've got a combo. Best thing in sports. Ja Morant is the most fun player to watch in all of basketball right now. If you're not watching Ja Morant, I would encourage you to do so. I know there's Steph Curry and LeBron still doing his thing. I'm not saying he's the best player in all of basketball, but I think he is the most fun to watch right now. And this week has been no exception. So Ja Morant gets part of it. And I will say, I spent many a time yesterday, Joe, after we read the article from Field Yates, pondering what it would be like to have Mitch Trubisky as the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. So that's my best thing. The idea of Mitch Trubisky being the quarterback for the Colts. I have to see this happen now. Get out of here, Carson Wentz. We're bringing in Mitch Trubisky and the Colts are going to the Super Bowl.
That sounds beautiful.
It does. I'm sure Titans fans would love to see Mitch Trubisky in there. My worst in sports is pretty simple. Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred. You've allowed yourself now to enter into, you know, March without having a deal done. And, you know, the deal itself, I don't really care about. Like, honestly, if baseball misses 45 games this year, I could not care less. And I don't know that most people would be able to care less. Like, at that point, you're still playing like 120 games or whatever it would be. But just Rob Manfred the other day getting up to the podium and like joking around and laughing and practicing his golf swing before he walks up there and all this other stuff while you're supposedly trying to work your butt off to get a deal done, I thought was just a really bad look. I think he's largely been an idiot ever since he's taken over Major League Baseball anyway, and this has just reinforced that this week. He is the worst commissioner in all of sports, and it continues to be on display.
Yeah, that's a good one. He's that's the clear best worst thing in sports this week. Yeah. Embarrassing. It's disastrous. And I look, I'm old enough to remember saying in 1994 when they ended the season, they did not finish the alley. I'm done with baseball. Yeah. And did I stick with that? No, but I stuck with that for a few years. And you're going to alienate some people with this. It's really bad. I go to the text line real quick for Nate.
Yep.
Driven by WilsonCountyHunt.com. Said the worst thing in sports, Jared versus Joe. Not only have we found out it's rigged, there was zero handshake line suit discussion yesterday that I was looking forward to. Now, Caroline Fenton and I have had a nice little text exchange here in the break. She's making me laugh. But that's another thing to the Tannehill tattletales. How do you not bring up Jared's terrible suit take? Like, we have chances to rip on Jared.
Yeah.
You got to jump on these opportunities.
I even tweeted the video of you putting your suit on.
You did.
Before it, I was ready.
I mean, like, Caroline comes up with the topics, and that should be, you know, like, people shouldn't interfere.
I think Caroline's probably so tired of talking about suits that she just purposely was like, yeah, we're not doing this.
Yeah, I guess that's it. Or is Jared bribing the judges?
Well, it could be.
Could be. Do we have a scandal on our hands?
She also has to work with him every day, though, so.
That is true.
Shout out, Caroline. We love her. My girl.
I mean, hey, believe me. Talk about, you know, like, talk about, like, double her salary. I feel like if I listen to an hour of that. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Yes, thank you. Talk about Stockholm syndrome. You know?
Got a text that says, need to give Vol Nation and the Boosters a big shout out for raising a ton of money for Zakai Ziegler's family with the house fire.
That's a great best and worst.
Yeah.
you know, the worst is like that his family house burned down. The best is what's the number at now? I meant to look
that
up today.
$300,000. I just checked.
It's a lot.
They're going to have like the sweetest, like, you know, Upper East Side apartment in Manhattan, you know, like,
yeah.
That's, but I'm not surprised at all. Like, it's, this is where Vault, the power of Vault Twitter can be an awesome thing in the good way. Dennis already has Tannehill's Tattletales shirt done.
Yes. Chris on the text line is a great one too. Says the best thing in sports is, I've not found the story specifically, but I heard Fitz talking about it on ESPN radio the other night. The group of Titans fans who were coming together to help a Titans fan in Ukraine get out of the country. And I think Fitz said something about a Titans fans in Germany waiting at the border. If you missed that, Jared was all over that the other day as well on his show of, you know, a Titans fan escaping Ukraine. They went to Romania, eventually hoping to get to Germany on that front too. Lots of money raised on that front. So good to see him and his family get out of Ukraine.
Yeah, great one. A lot of great candidates this week, and more good than bad.
Which is a refreshing change of pace.
Though the bad is bad.
The bad is bad. There's no question. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll be joined by Chris Harris from Channel 4. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans, the NFL Combine, and his question that got an emotional reaction out of John Robinson yesterday. All that coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.